Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our guests today are from the Alaska office of the YWCA. It's a good time to share these guests with listeners because they've just named this year's cohort of Women of Achievement an annual event for the past 30 years. And by the way, a number of Women of Achievement are featured in the Anchorage Museum's current exhibit, Extra Tough, Women of the North. So why do we have a YWCA? What is its mission? Why do women need organizations of their own? What difference does it make when they are in charge and they set the agenda? We'll learn more from both the current leadership and also from a founding member, and we'll meet three women of achievement. We'll learn about the commitment to community that brought them this honor, and we'll tap their insights on navigating today's tumultuous times, including broad social movements like Me Too, Black Lives Matter, and even our troubled 2020 election cycle. Suddenly, institutions and their values and how they shape a society seem more critical. Before I introduce our guests, I invite listeners to join in this conversation with questions or comments. You can speak with us and talk to our guests at 550-8433. Statewide, the number is 1-888-353-5752. And I'll be checking our email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And also, I've included significant links on the Hometown Alaska webpage. So things like links to the Facebook page for the YWCA, where they have featured video presentations of their honorees this year, and a link to a brochure that has all of this year's winners, highlights on this year's winners, including the Young Women of Achievement. So that's something you can click through on our website. You can also find it on the YWCAAK.org website. But anyway, a couple places to find those things. And one more thing. I think that if you feel down or you feel troubled, taking a look at the long list of 30 years of women who've been honored by the YWCA, it's just uplifting because you probably know many of them, and they perhaps were not in the headlines, they perhaps were not breaking news, but they were doing things in the community that made it strong. So we have a link to that. It's a PDF, and you can go back for 30 years and just skim and see, you know, who are the women that have been contributing for so long. So now I want to get to our two guests on the line. We have two that will stay with us through the hour, and then we are going to introduce some women of achievement as the hour progresses. So first off, I want to say hello to Teresa. Hello, Teresa. I want to say that I've known you through UAA. I used to work there. You worked there for a long time, Teresa Lyons, as working with new students coming in, student orientation, student outreach, a good 14 or 15 years there. Before coming to the YWCA, I believe you are relatively new to the Y, right?
That's correct. Hi, Kathleen. It's good to be with you today. And yes, I did work at the university for a long time, and I've been at the Y. Actually, I finished my first year in August.
Okay.
And so now I've just embarked upon my second year at the YWCA in Alaska.
So I also know that, I wanted you to tell us how you came to Alaska and why you stayed. You were not born here, but you came here as a young person.
Yes. Actually, I am a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. I came to Alaska by way of Mississippi. My mom and father divorced, and my mom moved back home to Mississippi with us. And we stayed there for about 5 years before coming to Alaska. So when I finished middle school, we took my very first plane ride, came all the way to Anchorage, Alaska. It was a little scary, I recall. And I was entering high school. That was in 1975, and my family remained here. So I've left to go away to college and things like that. But this is where home is.
Okay, so you made Alaska your home. And now I'm going to turn to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. It's such an honor to have you on the show. I have a bio for you, and there's some things in here that just are heartwarming. I love this description of you. Sharon Richards worked with a group of strong women in the late 80s to form a YWCA in Anchorage. I just love that idea of a group of strong women. We'll talk more about how you knew we needed one and how you went about it, but you eventually became the first executive director. You've done a lot of work in the community beyond the Y. You've been a community relations director at United Way, where you train lots of volunteer people who have volunteered and served on boards across the state. Something very critical in the era we're in right now. You were president of the Anchorage League of Women Voters, and boy, voting is one of the hottest topics today. So you have that in your background, which you said developed your interest in government and governing. You were president of KAKM Public Television before it merged with KSKA. You served on the Alaska Community Foundation Board, president of the Anchorage Downtown Rotary, served as a mentor several times for the Anchorage Leadership Program through the Alaska Humanities Forum. You've been honored many times. You've been an Athena Leadership recipient, a Woman of Achievement with the Y. On your 10th anniversary of service, they made you a Woman of Achievement with the Y. And you're in the Alaska Women's Hall of Fame. And the one thing you like to credit many of the skills you've acquired from your years of volunteering and enjoying helping to instill volunteerism in others. So that's a little introduction to Sharon. I know a lot of people know you, but it was just fun to refresh. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, too. So we have the latest CEO and the first CEO for the YWCA. I'm going to ask your permission to just do a quick roll call of this year's Women of Achievement, just because I think, as I was saying, they deserve to have their name over the radio waves, and people can think, do I know that Woman of Achievement? So I'm going to do a very quick roll call through that. Is that okay with both of you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
yeah.
We have this on the website, and I know it's on the YWCA's website, so you can read more about these folks, but I'll just give you just a touch. For the 2020 Women of Achievement awardees, we have Marilyn Romano, Regional Vice President for Alaska Airlines. We have Dr. Panikak Agatha John Shields, professor at UAA, comes from Nelson Island and lived in the Bethel area for many years, but came to Anchorage and became an educator. Alexandra McKay is the VP of Programs for the Rasmussen Foundation, and she's spent 25 years of nonprofit government and private sector work, really focused on strategic planning, public policy, human services, and social justice. She's been affiliated with the ACLU in Washington, Town Hall Seattle, and Perseverance Theater. She's a strong advocate of funding for groups that have been underrepresented. Another awardee this year is Anne Hale, Chief Development Officer for the Anchorage Museum. Anne has lived in Anchorage since age 4. She's a little younger when she got here than you, Teresa. She's a graduate of Bartlett High. And she received her MA in Philanthropy and Development from St. Mary's University of Minnesota, and of course has contributed many things to the community. Another 2020 Woman of Achievement is Moira Smith. And actually, we're going to get to hear from Moira later in the program. She is the VP General Counsel for NSTAR Natural Gas, and she was born in Anchorage and raised in Juneau. And she says in her own bio that she's learning every day to acknowledge the privilege associated with her racial and economic status. She's lived around the world in Africa and Europe. You know, she studied at Georgetown School of Foreign Service and got a law degree at the University of California, Berkeley. And she has clerked for Justice Dana Fabe before joining NSTAR. And she's been active in, you know, Perseverance Theater, Performing Arts, Standing Together Against Rape. Another winner for this year, Lena Mariscal, the owner of the French Oven Corporation. Lena's family moved to Alaska in 1983 from Mexico. She focuses her efforts on empowering the Latino community on issues of relevance, such as immigration advocacy, education, housing, civic engagement, health. She's a co-founder of Sol de Medianoche, Alaska's bilingual newspaper. And to the last page of these amazing women, Renee Carter Chapman grew up in the Midwest. She's a senior vice. She's just retired from UAA, but she was a senior vice president, provost at UAA. She grew up in the Midwest and started studying at Northeastern, but came to visit Alaska and ended up staying and getting her BA in anthropology. She throughout her long career at UAA, she led many of the earliest student success and institutional performance initiatives. And she was awarded the Edith Bullock Prize for Excellence in 2011. And our last adult awardee is Paola Banquero, an associate professor at UAA in journalism and public communication. And she is also the advisor for the student newspaper, The Northern Light. And she's done a lot of support around public media in the community. And then I did, if you guys will bear with me, I just want to just mention briefly the Young Women of Achievement, because again, it's just starting them early is a good idea, right?
Right, that's right.
So there are five of them for this year. I have Anna Birma, born and raised in Alaska. Her goal is to pursue a master's degree in speech language pathology with a minor in Spanish to help children of all backgrounds find their voice. And by the way, if I mispronounce anything, help me here, but Apat Ajak is an honor student in her junior year at East High School, born in Laboni and raised in Kenya. And she got very engaged through a civil engagement academy and started, you know, really learning a lot about Anchorage by visiting fire department, the mayor's office, the FBI, all kinds of things. Became very active in her church. And this is an interesting thing. Because of COVID, many churches do not meet. And she got very active in her church, recording the sermons and making them available so people could get them virtually, which is like a really relevant thing to be doing. And then one more, and then I'll stop talking and you guys can start talking. Alona Lehena was born in North Macedonia. Her family moved to Alaska when she was only four. She's currently at West High, plays basketball, is the captain of her varsity basketball team, and is editor-in-chief of the school's yearbook, and loves the concept of storytelling. And finally, Charmaine Bayelan is a senior at West High School, and she was born and raised in the Philippines and moved to Anchorage in 2014. And she intends to go to college after high school and pursue a career in the medical field, specifically in the public health sector. Again, young people shaped by the times they grow up in. I mean, what could be more important than public health right now? I now want to congratulate all those people, and I know you guys share in my accolades with them. We're silently clapping here for them. But now I just kind of wanted to turn to, in case people, I know that the YWCA has been here a long time. I've known about it, and it does so much, but I thought we could talk a little bit about its mission. And since we have both a current leader and a founding leader, we might get some perspective on how things have changed. So I'm going to turn to you, Teresa. You know, just tell us a little bit about what the mission is right now for the YWCA.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathleen. The mission of the YWCA is to eliminate racism, to empower women, to promote peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. The organization has been around, as Sharon will tell you, because she was our first ED, since 1989, doing some really incredible work. And the list of women that you named today, those women go on to serve in what we call the Academy of Women Achievers, just an incredible group of women over 30 years that still provide leadership that is impactful and transformational for Alaska. Mm-hmm. And so we work on a lot of things. Like right now, we're focused on our social justice program specifically because of all the civil unrest we have. And what we believe is that if we can keep Alaskans talking about issues that matter, we will find solutions to the problems we face together, and we'll be able to find a way forward together.
Mm-hmm. I want to turn to Sharon a little bit. And, you know, first, I understand there's a story about why you were so motivated to help found a YWCA here in Alaska. So tell us that story, if you will.
Well, the story goes that the National YWCA came to town because Alaska was the only state in the union that did not have a YWCA. And this was back in the late 80s. And they worked through the Chamber of Commerce to have a luncheon and invite important women in the community. I was not invited. But there was a, you know, they had elected officials and business women. But there were a group of about 40. But there was a little article in the paper that this luncheon was going on. And when I saw it, I just perked up. At the time, I was on a volunteer committee at the school district that dealt with minority issues. And So this was part of my activities during that time. But I had been active in Y Teens in junior high school. And in fact, it had been kind of a source of some little successes for me. And I think that's why I just got so excited to hear that they were coming to town. And so it was open to the public, and so I went. And that's where I learned of the mission of the YWCA, because, of course, as a young person, I never would have thought that there was even such a thing as a mission for a nonprofit, or didn't even realize it was a nonprofit. It was just the YWCA back then. And I learned the mission, which was a little different from it is now. It's evolved. Back then, it was empowering women and girls was part of the mission. And so we heard all about the YWCA and what they were involved in. And at the end of the luncheon, the woman said, "Is there anyone here that would like to get involved and try to start a YWCA here?" And I was the only one that raised my hand.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
But the woman, the friend sitting next to me, it was Marlene Norton, who has since passed, who was the volunteer coordinator at Providence Hospital for many years, and I'm sure many people that are listening knew Marlene. And she said, "Sharon, I'll help you." So to summarize, there were six of us that ended up meeting. We sent letters out to all of the 40 women that were there, and most of them said, "Great idea. Go for it. Let me know how it turns out."
Good for you. Right. You do the work.
Right. One letter even said, "We have enough nonprofits in town. We don't need another one." So, but we did meet for 2 years, and we kind of were spinning our wheels, but the national executive director was so intent on having a Y here that she finally said to us, she wrote to us or telephoned or whatever. You know, this was before the days of the Internet.
Right. No email, no text.
Yes, right. And she said, "We have $20,000 that we can grant you for the first year for YWCA." And so at that point is when I quit my job at United Way and became the first director for $20,000 a year.
That's amazing. You know, I'm thinking about how you mentioned that the mission has evolved, and the point I want to get to, and I want to remind our listeners that we are talking about the YWCA here in Alaska, and I have Teresa Lyons, the current executive director, on, and Sharon Richards, a founding member and once an executive director in the early days. And so my question for you, Sharon, is, you know, over the years, you've been fighting the good fight. The YWCA has been fighting the good fight. How has the mission changed? And how do you keep going forward in the face of discouragement? There's obviously more work to be done, we can say. So those two things, you know. Has the mission evolved to include more than women and girls? And it obviously has, because Teresa told us about it. But how did that happen? Why did that happen? And two, how do you stay encouraged? And we've probably got 2 minutes before we need to take a break. So take a stab at that.
The original mission, I mean, when we formed, and at that time it was YWCA Anchorage, was to empower women and girls and to eliminate racism.
So racism has always been in there.
Yeah. Yes, it was. At least, I don't know about the early days, but I know the YWCA was very very involved during the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it was at that point, or I don't know exactly when, but when we formed the Anchorage Y, that was definitely part of the mission, and quite frankly, that was the really compelling part for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because and I had been involved in this other group.
Right.
So, and part of the challenge, actually, it's interesting, isn't it? This was 30 years ago. And,
yeah.
But you know, there was still a recognition by some of us that systemic racism was a problem, was a challenge. And here we are 30 years later. You know, maybe we were the forefront to Black Lives Matter. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And part of the challenge really was finding any kind of funding for that issue. And funding in general was easier back then than it is now, I will tell you. But and so, you know, we couldn't have a staff person that was directly responsible for programs around eliminating racism, and that was one of the big challenges. But we did what we could, and nowadays, of course, it's on everyone's mind, I hope.
Yeah, as we need to take a little break here right now, but we'll talk a little bit more about how you keep the fire stoked and keep the commitments high. We are about to welcome, right after our break, a woman of achievement, Carol Schatz, from the cohort of 1997. But we're going to take a tiny break right now. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is the YWCA, which is just named its 2020 cohort of Alaska Women of Achievement. And we're talking about doing that kind of good work with Teresa Lyons, the current CEO, and Sharon Richards, herself a woman of achievement, but also a founder and eventually an executive director of the YWCA. And we have on the line Carol Schatz. Hello, Carol. Well, while we make sure Carol's on the line, I just want to tell our listeners you're welcome to call up if you've had interactions with Y or have questions about the Women of Achievement or want to know where you can volunteer. We've got some experts on the program today. So the number is 550-8433. That's in Anchorage. And then statewide, it's 1-888-353-8433. 5752. And of course, we have email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So now I'm going to see, have we got Carol Schatz back? Still working on it. Okay. We will get there. So Carol comes from the class of 1997, and I can tell our listeners I've got a little bio here from her. It's really fun to have not just the current class honored. We have Carol, who's here from 1997. We have Kate Slyker, who's here from 2014, coming up later in the program. And then from this year's cohort of 2020, we have Moira Smith. So I don't think we have Carol yet. I'm not sure. I can see her on the line, and somehow it's locked. So let's talk a little bit about Carol. Okay, yeah, our engineer says he is working on it. Help me, Teresa and Sharon. Carol, let me just say what I know, that she's had a huge career in public broadcasting. She was the chief operating officer for Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, co-owner and general manager for KYES. She studied sociology when she went to college and then got a master's in education with an emphasis in higher education administration. She's gotten lots of recognition. She's been in the Alaska Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and she is a YWCA Woman of Achievement, which which we've been talking about. And she's served on many, many nonprofit boards as the years went by, including, I guess, currently the Alaska Public Broadcasting Health Trust. When she gets on the line, we'll have to ask her what that is. The Shining Lights Award Committee. I've certainly heard about those honorees. And the Anchorage International Film Festival, the Anchorage Rotary, and the Alaska State Board of Education. I'm guessing, Sharon, that you have known Carol for a long time.
I have, and actually we met when she was with the public broadcasting station, I think, in Bethel, and I was on the KAKM board.
Ah, yes, KYUK. I didn't read everything on her resume out loud, but yes, she was with KYUK for a long time.
And so we met, I can't remember where it was, we were out of town somewhere at a convention, and we sat down and had a lovely conversation, and that's where I first met her, and, you know, I don't see her very often, but we just kind of bonded at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was so thrilled when she became a woman of achievement.
Yeah, and you know, one of my questions about this is a general question for all of them. They all have interesting professional careers, but they also make time in their life for nonprofit work and contributions. In other words, they didn't grow up and become. She studied sociology, but she did not become a social worker. She went into broadcasting. Is this something that you see in the women of achievement, that they have a professional life, but they make time for another kind of contribution? And I guess I'll send that to Sharon and then maybe Teresa after that.
Well, actually, okay. That's one of the criteria is, you know, we were looking for women, and that they still are, I know, who have been very successful in whatever their vocation is, but also people that give back. That's definitely, you know, I mean, there are lots of people that may do very well in their jobs, in their business, in their careers, but that's all they do. And so it's very important that we look for women that give back to the community.
So that's one of the criteria. And I guess I could have laid that out at the beginning. What is the criteria for being a woman of achievement? So that's a big one. How about you, Teresa, thoughts on this balancing act of being a professional life? And probably many of them have families. That's another ball that they are juggling. And then there's this time for meetings outside of home and outside of work. Talk to us a little bit about the quality of the kind of person that is. It has to be an organized person, for sure.
Well, Sharon is absolutely right. We're looking for women who are engaged beyond their careers in our community of Alaska. And so one of the things is, not only are they doing work that is outside their careers, but they're doing work that aligns with the mission of YWCA Alaska.
So the work has to be complementary, you would say, in some way?
Exactly. Yes, they are doing the work that aligns with empowering women, eliminating racism, promoting peace, justice, and freedom in the world for everyone. And so we look for those qualities, but we do not find these women. These women are found by members of our very community that we live in. They are nominated by someone, so we don't go handpick them. Someone in the community sees them as worthy of this acknowledgement and this award, and they complete a nomination form, lifting them up to us. And we have a committee that goes through those nominations and selects 10 women every year.
You know,
the community at large is helping us find these incredible women in the state of Alaska.
So it takes a village, right, to find the achievers, or everybody gets to have an opportunity to recommend. I have to say, we have Carol on the line. Let me see. Can you hear me, Carol? Well, still struggling. Let's see. Hi, Carol.
Yes, I hear you fine.
Oh, Carol, success. We got you.
Thanks, Carol.
So happy to have you on the air. We've been talking all about you behind your back because we didn't have you on the air. I did tell people about your career in public broadcasting and broadcast in general, KYUK and, you know, Kiwanis Broadcast. And so, you know, I want to get to the heart of the question. I was going to ask you about why you chose this work and you know, how you got involved in the community. But we lost a bit of your time, so let's go right to the heart of the matter. I am seeking from women of achievement, these leaders in our community, some help in looking at the tumultuous times we're in today. I think when people serve long enough, they see tumultuous times. They go through them. You know, they watch the community go through them. They may have them in their family. They may have friends that are having difficult times. And sometimes you see a whole country go through them. Certainly when we've had assassinations or coming to grips in the civil rights era. So I am thinking that it's not a surprise that our country is in the tumult that it's in, whether we're talking public health or we're talking just election, trying to settle an election. So, Carol, I gave you a heads up so you could think a little bit about this, because I know it's a broad question. And I'm not asking for a silver bullet or the answer. I'm just saying, how do you think about these things? And can you help us think about them a little bit? So go ahead and talk to us about that.
Well, I do think a lot about the uncertainty and the unpredictability about our lives. And some days it's hard not to be depressed. but I also feel that we're pretty resilient. And not just my life, but I also think about my parents who fled Nazi Germany and the uncertainty they faced when they had to leave their families behind and come to a new country. And they survived and thrived. And so I feel as though what we're going through is, in a sense, our war. This is our time for that similar kind of challenge. And people do make it through. And I think, we rebound, not necessarily that things stay the same, because actually some change is necessary and good. But I think we will make it through. And so it's that feeling of resilience that I have to keep reminding myself and my nieces, and also gratitude, which I hear a lot of people say, and I have to say that it's, I think, really important to focus on what we have to be grateful for. I'm very grateful that my basic needs are met. I'm not worried about, do I have enough food? I have more than enough, and I have a place to live, and I have friends and family that I'm still connected to, even though they're far away. So I think the notion of resilience and gratitude, even if I can't remember every single day or think about it consciously, what am I grateful for? I try and take some time out. And I think it's really important that we focus on some of the positive things in our lives.
I appreciate that. And I invite Sharon or Teresa. Sharon, any comment on that?
No, other than I'm just relating to what she's talking about.
I'm trying, right? I think you're right. It's like a practice every day to actually not just be sucked into the vortex of headlines, but to think for a moment, wait, I'm here in Anchorage, Alaska, and, I've got beautiful parks to walk in, and, just remind yourself that, that you don't have to go headline to headline and grip the chair and think it's the end of the world. So I think that kind of wisdom comes from people who've been through a lot. And just the story of your own family, Carol, was really moving. And that is a deep resilience there that you referenced. How about you, Teresa? Any thoughts on what Carol shared?
Absolutely. I appreciated hearing the term she used, resilience and gratitude. Those are powerful. I do think that we are in a place where each individual is going to have to hold themselves accountable. One, to be informed, to go the extra mile within ourselves to want to know what is true, and to get after searching for that ourselves and having conversations that are difficult and uncomfortable to have. I think we are at a moment of just a national consciousness around the inequities that we face in America. We are faced with our ugly history of racism. And at the end of the day, we have to kind of reduce it to the lowest common denominator, which is our individual choices. And so my hope, and I'm optimistic like Carol is, my hope is that love will overcome hatred, that people will be gracious toward one another. But I do sense that there is what I would call a righteous anger, because we can't continue the way we are. And we have to figure out how we create an America that works for all people. And I think it starts by being educated. That's why YWCA Alaska is engaged in conversations and training with partners across the community, with individuals that are open and seeking to understand, you know, to explore their own implicit bias, to pay attention to microaggressions, you know, to even become educated about what systemic racism is. There are some people who still think that that is not true and real when, you know, as an African-American woman, I live with that my entire life and have to work hard not to be complacent around it. So I think we all have a work to do. And for some of us, I think about veterans in this work, you know, who've been doing it longer than me. They probably have a lot of ideas about what we ought to be doing right now, and they can roll up their sleeves and get right to work. And for the rest of us, we have to at least start seeking, asking, making ourselves a little bit uncomfortable so we can learn more about the issues we face and how we can take part in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I can see that we have our other women of achievement who are lined up and ready to talk to us. So I need to move on, but I'm going to say thank you so much, Carol, for joining us. And I apologize for the bumps in the beginning. Sometimes technology is that way. And I appreciate very, very meaningful thoughts that you gave us today. So thank you so much. And
thank you. Good to hear all of you. And I'll sign off.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Carol. And I'm going to welcome Kate Slyker. Hi, Kate. We're pulling our hair out over here. Kate is supposed to be on the air, but we can't actually hear her. So we're gonna do what we did with Carol. We're gonna talk a little bit about Kate behind her back. Okay, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So Kate is, she was from the cohort of 2014, Woman of Achievement, and she's the chief marketing officer with GCI, and she leads the marketing efforts for the Alaska Born and Raised business, which has grown from an Anchorage startup more than 40 years ago to a successful publicly traded company today. She was also, before GCI, executive vice president of Spawn Ideas. Of course, you've heard of Spawn Ideas, a local ad agency. Kate has always had a deep commitment to the nonprofit community. She served on the Covenant House Board, the Alaska Community Foundation, and the Providence Hospital Foundation. She's been a member of the University of Alaska Athletics Advisory Board and a member of the Women's Giving Circle. She's completed board terms with the YWCA, Catholic Social Services, and the Alaska Chapter of the American Marketing Association. And she was in 2014 named a YWCA Woman of Achievement for her leadership and excellence in professionalism and personal endeavors, as well as contributions to the community. In 2002, she was named as the youngest member of the top 40 under 40 by the Journal of Commerce and Chamber of Commerce. So she's a fourth-generation lifelong Alaskan. And as we struggle with the technology, let's talk a little bit about Kate.
I would like to add one small fact, if I could.
Sure.
Kate is, and don't ask me who the others are because I can't think off the top of my head, but Kate is part of a very small number of mothers and daughters that are women of achievement.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
What's her, I don't mean to, you know, test you.
Her mother, Mary.
Her mom.
Mary Swalling, yes.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And her grandmother was an honorary chair one year.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
She's a legacy for YWCA.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The Swalling family goes back many generations. And so, yes, we were very happy to have Kate join the family of the YWCA. And she was a board member.
I'm going to see if we possibly have Kate on the line. Hi, Kate. Can you hear me? Don't have her yet. Boy, I can't wait to hear. After talking about her and you know, hearing about the legacy in her family, I just can't wait to ask her how we can keep on going in the difficult times, because clearly it runs in the family. It runs in the blood of contributions and giving. And let me see.
And I think of one other thing I wanted to add when we were talking about the criteria for women of achievement. You know, it's not the case these days, but when we started the Y, there were still lots of women that did not work outside the home. And so they didn't have careers per se, but they had became professional volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so there have been, at least early on, many women that were women of achievement for their volunteer activities in the community.
Ah, yeah, I see. So it's this idea that women can do everything, and they show that they do everything, from, you know, having amazing careers, families sometimes, and also contributing to the community. That's amazing. I do believe we might have Kate on the line. Kate, can you hear us now?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wonderful.
Yes, I'm so sorry for the bumps. Sometimes it's like that, and I really apologize, but thank you for being persistent and sticking with us. We did already talk about you behind your back. Maybe you could hear some.
I heard you. Very awkward.
We knew there'd be awkward moments, and there was one. So I'm going to cut to the chase and go ahead and ask you the $64,000 question about, you know, how you think about the difficult times we're in right now, whether you're talking about the pandemic or the election or the economy. You know, we also learned that, you know, you come from a long line of strong women. So how do you think about it? And maybe we can learn something from the way you look at the difficulties we're facing right now.
Absolutely. And it's funny that Sharon mentioned my unique opportunity that I'm the third generation of woman of achievement. My grandmother and mother both were. And I will say it really comes from what I've been taught by them and my other grandmother with a lot of strong women. Really was a three-part lesson I think I was given in life, which was one, to always stay curious and keep learning. My grandmother is 99 years old, and she still is a voracious reader and, you know, streams movies so she can understand current events. And so staying curious and always learning is something that I think is really important, and I do that myself. You know, I applaud the Y. They have programs right now with Dr. Glenn about microaggression, implicit bias, anti-racism, and making sure that you're informed. I also love The Moth. They're doing a special series, which is a podcast, but that stems from public radio, and lots of learning about other cultures, other people. But then my grandmother told me, I'll tell you, there was an election. I didn't like the way things went. And I called her because she's always my source of good information. And I said, what do I do? And she said, well, don't do what I did once. 40 years ago, I was mad. And I, was sitting there in the morning drinking my coffee, and when I got the paper, I threw my coffee across the room, and the mug shattered, and all I had to do then was clean up coffee. Instead, go get to work. And so I would say, get to work, right? Go show up. And I'm lucky that at my company and my role, I'm able to take part in diversity initiatives. I personally work to go show up and donate and participate. I've been at protests this summer with my kids, and I think you go show up, you go take action. And then the final thing I was raised with, choose love, not hate. Any choice you make, make sure it's made out of love, not hate. And so that really is my guiding principle.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I'm gonna let Sharon and Teresa mull that over for a moment. We're going to take a tiny break, and then we're going to come back and finish sort of responding to Kate's idea, which are strong and well-rooted. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is the YWCA, its mission, but also its focus on women of achievement. And we've been speaking with women of achievement throughout the hour. Our host today, or our hour-long guests, are Teresa Lyons and Sharon Richards from the YWCA. And we have also been speaking with Carol Schatz, who's now gone, but, you know, gave us great words of wisdom. And Kate Slyker was just on and really told us what her grandmother told her to do when things are tough. So I'm going to let Teresa and then Sharon just respond a little bit to Kate's input here. So go ahead, Teresa.
Absolutely was inspired by what she shared, and I thought to myself, boy, her grandmother could do a master's class.
Yeah.
It's these kinds of wisdom nuggets that we need to be speaking out loud in our communities to our young people, to the people we work with. Words are so powerful. So just to think, I can see why there are three generations of women of achievement in that family, because these concepts, I mean, these wisdom principles, if she is, clearly Kate listened, right? But just to think the power of that being spoken into her life growing up, I mean, the world opened up to her, and she saw that she could go and make change and be a part of the community. Mm-hmm. And so I was really inspired by it. Thank you, Kate, for sharing that.
Yeah. And how about you, Sharon? Because Moira has been hanging on the whole time, and let's hope she's still there when we get there. Thank you, Moira. But let's hear a little response from you, Sharon, also about what we learned from Kate.
Well, I'm always interested in how times have changed, how the Y presents its mission and its programs. And so her reference to these online discussions are something that's, you know, still relatively new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's impressive that there is a way that the Y can do its work. And again, it's a different way for me. But it warms my heart to think that the mission of the Y can still be out there trying to inform and inspire people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
let's see. Kate, I don't know. I believe you're still there. Are you still there, Kate?
I am here.
Oh, good. Well, I basically want to say thank you so much for, it's been very bumpy coming in and coming out, and I'm so sorry. It's just sometimes like this. But I think that it was amazing to get to hear the thoughts of your grandmother and, you know, people who have lived through a lot. I love the story of throwing the cup of coffee and then you're only left with cleaning it up. So put your energy someplace where it's actually going to do some good. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to say thank you and goodbye and return you to your busy life and welcome Moira Smith. Are you there, Moira?
I think I am.
You are.
Yay, sometimes
you're strong. Yeah, and thank you. You know, you've been hanging on here. Thank you so much for being patient as we kind of move through. It was a little unusual. It wasn't quite the way we had planned it. So thanks for rolling with the punches here. But just to let our audience know, Moira is in the 2020 cohort of Women of Achievement. She is the general counsel for NSTAR Natural Gas. And Moira was born in Anchorage and raised in Juneau, and says that she's learning every day to acknowledge the privilege associated with her racial and economic status. She's lived in Africa and Europe, on the East and West Coasts. She studied at Georgetown School of Foreign Service and got her law degree at the University of California, Berkeley, and has in the past clerked for then Chief Justice Dana Fabe before joining the NSTAR company. And, you know, as a lot of contributions in the community, I'll just name a few. She served on the Perseverance Theater Board, the Performing Arts Center, and Standing Together Against Rape. And is currently on the Alaska Bar Association's Disciplinary Committee, and is the chair of the Alaska Humanities Forum Board of Directors. So, Moira, thank you so much. I know it's not fun to sit there and listen to, you know, your resume, but thank you, because we just want people to know what Alaska Women of Achievement are like. And I was planning to talk to you a little bit about the work you do and why you do it, but I think given the time we have, I think I need to cut to the chase, which is to ask you, as we ask the other women of achievement, help us by telling us how you think about the tumultuous times we're in, whether you're worried about the pandemic or you're worried about the economy or you're worried about the election and things seem so unstable. How do you face that kind of situation?
Well, first of all, thank you, Kathleen, and thank you to Teresa and Sharon and the YWCA. It's a true honor to have been named this year. But to answer your question, I think of it in the macro sense, and I think of it in the micro sense. So on the macro level, just as Carol Schatz was saying, I try to keep perspective. I lived in West Africa for a year, and I saw things there that were really pretty intense and that spoke to extreme poverty and extreme oppression. And so I just keep perspective, just as Carol was saying, that I've got a home, I've got a family, I've got friends. I've got internet. Mm-hmm. What else could I need, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I try to keep in perspective is, you know, when my grandma was my age, the United States was not, just about 90% white. And now it's closer to 60%. So we've had massive change in the makeup of our country in a relatively short period of time. And we know as students of history that when these major demographic changes happen, there's friction. And we also know that it doesn't affect everyone equally. So the question I ask myself is, what is my responsibility as a white person? How do I leave this world knowing that the, you know, that, that this country is one where my kids can live, where the dignity of all Americans is honored? I have a morning news story, too, just like Kate. My dad, when I was 18, I was about a week before my high school graduation, and I came out and he was crying listening to KTOO, the APRN member station in Juneau. And I said, oh, my gosh, Dad, what's wrong? Did somebody die? What's going on? And he said, our generation has messed it up, Moira. It's up to your generation to fix it. And so I think keeping things in perspective is really important. It's easy to get stressed out by the small stuff. But, you know, your goal in life should be to keep perspective so that you don't lose sight of what's really important. And then on the micro level, listen, I'm a big proponent of taking care of your mental health and your emotional health and your physical health. And it was actually, as the pandemic was coming on, it was in the process of trying to deal with my dread that I felt knowing what was going to happen, that I stumbled upon, you know, great learnings around the notion that one way to relieve anxiety when something big like a pandemic comes on is to serve others. And that was when I started this Facebook group called Coronavirus Days of Caring, where we put out one act of caring a day that people could do to support the community. And we did that for, oh, I think 4 or 5 months, and we're able to accomplish great things because fundamentally, I think most people want to support their community. And so we just offered a venue or an avenue for them to do that. So that's sort of my two cents, is just keep perspective and take care of yourself. There's good mental health resources out there. Unfortunately, due to sort of some structural issues in our society, they're not equally available to everyone. But I would ask that people just try to take care of themselves the best they can. Meditate, go for walks, call friends, do the things that keep us well.
Mm-hmm. And maybe find some place where you can help. Who is it, Mr. Rogers, that says, find the helpers when there's difficult times, find the helpers. How about a little remark, comment first from you, Sharon, about the words. We have about 4.5 minutes before we disappear. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But those are very thoughtful remarks from Moira. And I just thought maybe Sharon and then again, Teresa might want to comment just briefly.
I am so impressed with the women of achievement that have been on today. that's my first thing I want to say. And I do not know Moira personally, but I heard her story on the Women of Achievement internet, I don't know what to call it, event online the other night, and was so very impressed. And she obviously has put a lot of thought into this. I think, frankly, I need to take some of the advice I've heard today because...
Yeah, me too. Me too. I've taken notes over here.
because it is just such tumultuous times in so many areas in our life. It's a very, very hard time. And, but on the other hand, there are wonderful opportunities to be aware and to decide, where is my place in all of this? What contribution can I make?
Exactly. Yeah. And Teresa, how about you? Any thoughts?
Oh, yes. I was inspired as well by Maura's comments. I had the pleasure of actually delivering flowers and an award to her and meeting her in person, which I was really glad. Folks didn't know that we did that behind the scenes to try to make it special for the recipients this year. But her comments about keeping perspective, her dad's story about the next generation fixing it, you know, and then just asking yourself, you know, what is my responsibility? I think it starts with the individual. But there is, regardless of where we are in our journey around this work, addressing issues of racism and systemic racism, it starts with us as individuals first, and then we need to seek to see who we can help. So I absolutely agree with her comments about serving others, relieve stress, because I do believe, and I don't think I'm alone in this belief, you know, we will succeed as a species of humans together, or we will not together. And so I am hoping that as human beings, and I feel like I'm in a fight for my humanity when I do this work, I want to be a better Teresa and the best Teresa I can be. And I want to make space for other people to be their best self. I ask myself often, what is the value of all of this technological advancement if we don't evolve and rise as human beings ourselves? Our heads and hearts have to be connected, and we have to care for people beyond ourselves. So I really appreciate it, Maura's comment.
Yeah. It's inspiring to hear these words. If you're feeling down, hearing that someone else has a grip on the situation, it makes you feel better, and you think, okay, I can do that. And actually, you know, Maura, you were so practical, and, you know, keep perspective. And Carol mentioned that too, but also figuring out how you might be of assistance. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your patience hanging on as we went through our little bumps here, but it was really valuable to have you on. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thanks.
Yeah. And so I just we have about 2 minutes left, and I just, you know, I guess I want to encourage people to go read about the other women of achievement. They can find a link on YWCAAK.org, or they can find a link on Hometown Alaska. And, you know, I guess I think we just all have to keep on keeping on, right? I mean, that's the message is get tomorrow's another day, get up and do it all over again. So I don't know. I just and I salute the young women of achievement that we mentioned at the start of the program. And of course, you know, all of they all sound so promising, and they give us confidence that things will improve. So
it's so encouraging.
Yes.
When you hear their stories.
Yes, yes. And they're already doing so much at a young age and already thinking outside their own self. So you hear the music, which means we have to close this. I need to say a big thank you to Teresa Lyons, the current executive director for the YWCA. Thank you, Sharon Richards, for joining us for this conversation. And to our three women of achievement who came forward and gave us some advice for these difficult times, Carol Schatz from the cohort of 1997, Kate Slyker from 2014, and Moira Smith, this year's honoree. Next week, we extend our focus on Alaska's amazing women with a listen to details about Extra Tough Women of the North, the Anchorage Museum's current exhibition highlighting the rich work and accomplishments of Alaska women. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Eric Bork was our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.